Hello and welcome to another broadcast. Today we're going to be talking about the subject of contentment. Stay tuned. Well, the dictionary says that contentment is, quote, a state of happiness and satisfaction. Is that what the Bible says about contentment? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he was sitting in a Roman dungeon when he wrote that. Now, the problem with the dictionary definition of contentment, a state of happiness and satisfaction. Happiness depends on happenings. What was happening in Paul's life? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23, we read about him being in labors and in stripes, and in, that means whipped, in prison, and right on the edge of death many times. He said in verse 24, five times received I 40 stripes, save one, that's 39 lashes, five times. Verse 25, he said three times he was beaten with rods, and once he was stoned. Three times he suffered a shipwreck, and he was a night and a day. He said, I've been in the deep, floating around in the water. And then he said in verse 26, in journeyings, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He said in verse 27, I knew weariness and painfulness, watching oft in hunger and thirst and fasting and in cold and nakedness. Besides, he said those things, the daily care of all the churches. In spite of all that, and in spite of the fact that he is sitting in a Roman prison, not like our prison, you know, fancy heat and air conditioning, a dirty dungeon fighting off the rats, he said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, we can learn a lot from the Apostle Paul when it comes to contentment. Now, there's some people in his life that were an encouragement to him. You read about Paul and his company. You read about Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. Paul had some friends. He had some people that he really cared about. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 1, we read about Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops, the pastors, and the deacons. He said in verse 3 of chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He said in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. I thank God for that. He said in verse 8, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Well, it's good to have some friends in the ministry. I read a story one time of a little girl who wanted something, and her parents said, it's up in the attic. And she said, I'm afraid to go up there all by myself. And they said, well, God will go up there with you. And she said, well, I want someone with skin to go with me. Well, you know, Paul needed someone with skin, and we all do. And it's such a great thing that Paul and his company, or Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus, he had those who were in fellowship with him in the gospel. But he was alone in a prison in dungeon in Rome, and he still had not lost his contentment, and he wrote about it in that situation. Now, can we have contentment in these trying days of apostasy regardless of what is happening? I want to read the verse again. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, I don't want anything. Number one, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I've learned it. I have gained or acquired this knowledge on how to be content. He didn't always have it, but now he's got it. He said, I know both how to be abased and how to abound everywhere in all things. Number two, he said, I am instructed. He said, I have learned. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Then in number three, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know, that's very important. He didn't say, I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. He said, I can do all things through Christ. And doing these things through Christ, they are the things that strengthened him. Now, contentment is a work of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of a willing Christian. Let me say that again. Contentment is a work of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of a willing Christian. David, running through all kinds of problems, said in Psalm 62 and verse number 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Now, the Bible tells us plainly that we are three-part being. God said, let us make man in our image. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He made us a Trinity. We are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. The body is what we live in. That's just the outward shell, the body. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And that third part is the spirit, and that is the part that the Holy Spirit communicates with. Very plainly taught that in the scriptures. And so the Holy Spirit does not communicate with our soul, that is our mind, our will, or our emotions. He communicates with our spirit. Now, all of us are going to have some problems when we have enough difficulties coming around us, like David did. And in Psalm 62, he's given his soul a hard time, and he needed to. He said, my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, wait thou only upon God. What are you doing, messing me up? My expectation is from him, not from my mind, my will, my emotions, or from me, from him. Now, once again, contentment is a work of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of a willing Christian. Years ago, I read Alan Redpath said this, and this is so, so important. There is nothing, he said, no circumstance, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone right past Christ, right through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with great purpose, which I may not understand at the moment. But as I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up mine eyes to his and accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my own heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no trial will ever disarm me, no circumstance will cause me to fret, for I shall rest in the joy of what my Lord is. I read that when I was a teenager, and it had helped me a lot, and it is still helping me today. Well, David, running through the problems again that he had, he said in Psalm 62, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. It is an interesting fact that we read that godliness with contentment is great gain, and it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6, and the context of that verse is right in the middle of the apostasy that we are looking at today. And so in Philippians 4, he said, I have learned, I know how, I am instructed, he said, on how to be content. Now, Paul learned how to make contentment a reality in his life in spite of the trying circumstances that he was facing. Paul said, I am content. However, he qualified that in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, where he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's God's grace. Well, when a Christian has contentment, it will be as a result of his mind, his will, and his emotions being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Think about what's bothering you today. It's usually something to do with the circumstances that come into our life that we wish were not there. Well, Paul had a lot of those, and the preacher today has a lot of those, especially a pastor in a small church, which most of the churches, 98% at least of our churches, are small churches. And it can be very easy for a preacher to get discouraged in a small church. Now, the greatest source of discouragement for the preacher is the fact that things are not happening in the church like he wished they would. Well, the preacher who's discontented for that reason will be discontented until he dies, because the church will never satisfy the longing in the soul. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Now, if we had all the money we think we need, and we had all the buildings we think we need, and we had the crowd that we think we need, all we'd have is more people to make us discontent. We would still cry out with the psalmist, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" We should never seek contentment in our ministries. Whatever gives us the idea that God gave us a ministry so we could be content. Several men in the Bible who had God-given ministries were so frustrated with those ministries and responsibilities, they prayed that they could die. Now, we need to understand that commitment does not come from addition, but rather from subtraction. Humanism says the chief end of man is to be happy. Humanism says we'll be happy when we can get all the things we think we need. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Be content with such things as you have." We need not only to learn that we should be content with the things that we have, but we should be content with our position in life. We have seen that Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Our prayer should be, "Lord, please subtract from my desires so that I will be content with what I have and where I am." Remember, Paul wrote about this, saying he had contentment while he was sitting in a Roman dungeon. He once had everything. He had a home, a family, he had money, he had position, he had respect, he had a power as a citizen of Israel, and now none of those things are his. However, he says, "I have learned to be content." Well, it's better to be content than to have all those other things without it. Contentment comes as we do our duty in the circumstances, not by trying to get the circumstances changed. You can look through the Bible and see that all kinds of times. Nehemiah, he was faced with a lot of stress. What did he say? "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You can look at it, Noah and Abraham and Joseph and Jeremiah and Peter and Paul and everyone else who had a God-given ministry faced pressures that we know little about today. So contentment comes when we make God's will our will. Moses made his will and God's will one and the same. And we read in Numbers 16 and 28, Moses said, "Hereby shall ye know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind." Well, in Acts chapter 9, verse number 6, Paul asks, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Well, it wasn't so much what he would have him do as what he would have him be. He said, "I want you to be content." It was unlikely that when Paul asked that question, he had any idea that it would include what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23 through 27, where he listed him as being in prison, being whipped 5 times, being beaten with rods, being stoned 3 times, being shipwrecked, robbed, and left for dead, suffering pain and weariness and hunger and thirst. Paul said this, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now there's a big difference to simply submitting to God's will and actually making God's will our will. Psalm 47:4 says, "He has chosen our inheritance for us." Inheritance is the things that he gives to us. Well, Paul wouldn't have chose all those things that we find back there in 2 Corinthians. But God says, "I want you to learn how to be content in whatsoever state you are in. Contentment comes through self-denial. When Paul began his ministry, he referred to himself as the chief of apostles. When he ended his ministry, he said, "I am the chief of sinners." Well, to be content, I must learn that I am nothing. I deserve nothing, and without Christ, I can do nothing. The person who has learned contentment has learned he is a corrupt, unclean vessel that will spoil anything that comes into it unless Christ intervenes. It is an amazing thing that God would allow any of us to be pastors or to serve him in any way, even in the smallest church, and yet many preachers are discontent because they think they deserve a big church. When I came to Sarnia, a preacher friend said to me that after all these years of service for the Lord, that you deserve a big church and a good income and a retirement package. And I laughed and said, "Where did you get a stupid idea like that? If I got what I deserved, I would go straight to hell, and Sarnia is way better than what I deserve." I've been in Sarnia for 20 years. It's a small church, and it's getting smaller, but the truth is I have never been happier in the work of the Lord than I am right now. In conclusion, I want to say there's two types of discontentment. One type is carnal and one type is spiritual. We need to understand that there is a spiritual discontentment that is from God. There is a carnal discontentment that is from the world. Paul the Apostle also said, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Oh, he said, "This flesh, who will deliver me from this body of death?" He was very discontented with what he was doing. He was discontented with how some of the churches were acting and going into apostasy. That was a God-given discontentment. Carnal discontentment originates with self. Spiritual discontentment comes from God.